This morning's sermon is called The Word Becomes Flesh. From John chapter 1, verse 14 through 18, as we continue to go through the Gospel of John, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. John began this book by saying, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." John gets right to the point in his gospel, in verse 1 of when we open this book, John wants us, his readers, to know that Jesus is God. Right away, he starts with a declaration, Jesus is God. He is the second person in the triune Godhead. He identifies Jesus as the Word. And the Word is none other than Jesus Christ. This is the most important doctrine in the Christian faith, knowing that Jesus is God, because there are so many heresies concerning our Lord Jesus Christ. The Scriptures are very clear. Jesus is God. He's the second person in the triune Godhead. The Apostle John was led by the Holy Spirit to write this gospel, plus his three small epistles, John 1, 2, and 3, and the book of Revelation. John wrote this book as an eyewitness of Jesus Christ. He was with the Lord. He is an original apostle of Christ. And the main purpose for John writing this gospel is to convince his readers that Jesus is the Messiah. He is the Son of God, God in the flesh, and by believing in him, you may have eternal life in his name. Amen? I'll go ahead and read our passage this morning and then discuss it. Verse 14 through 18. The Apostle John wrote, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him, and cried out, saying, This was he of whom I said, He who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him." Amen. Let's go through the Word of God this morning, and let's take a look at verse 14. John wrote, "And the Word," speaking of Jesus, "became flesh," took on human form, "and dwelt," lived, "among us. And we beheld," which means we saw. "We saw his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." In the Old Testament, God revealed himself to his people by visions, by dreams, by angels, a burning bush, a cloud during the day, and a fire at night. But now he has come into the world in the flesh, in human form. The invisible God becomes visible right before his people. John's message, the eternal God himself has become flesh and lived among us. Emmanuel, God with us. The Creator has become part of his creation. And why? So that he may save sinners from their sin, death, judgment, and eternal hell. The Bible tells us that God is holy, God is righteous, and God is just, right? The book of Isaiah, chapter 5, verse 16. The Bible also tells us that righteousness is the foundation. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of God's throne, which is in the book of Psalms, chapter 97, verse 2. The Bible also tells us that God is love. In the first book of John, chapter 4, verse 8, and we see the fullness of God's love for his people in John 3, 16 and 17, right? For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God in the flesh, he comes into the world to save us, to redeem us, and reconcile us back to God the Father through him. Jesus became a man. He lived a perfect righteous life that we could not live. And he went to Calvary to die on a cross for his people. Pays our sin debt in full to all those who turn to him, surrender their life, and repent and believe in him and place their faith and trust in Christ and Christ alone. If you brought your Bible with you this morning, I want you to turn to the book of Philippians, chapter 2. Last week I shared a passage with you from the same book of Philippians, but I actually gave you the wrong chapter. I said it was chapter 1, but it was chapter 3. I got the right one this week. Hey, I never said I was perfect. Far from it. Just forgive him. Amen. Amen. I was just testing you guys anyway, seeing if you were paying attention. I made sure I had the right one this week. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 through 11. Very good passage for you to know and understand. We're going to go through this. It's about the Word becomes flesh and comes and lives among us. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 through 11. I'll give you a minute there to get to that. You can use one of the pew Bibles if you want. I don't know what page it's on. 1803. Well, has always got my back. 1803, if you want to use the pew Bible. Verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, hell. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Jesus, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a bondservant. That means a servant by choice. He was willing to do this by choice. It's like us when we come to Christ. Jesus doesn't make us, right? We come willingly, right? We become a bondservant willingly, servant by choice. And it says, and he came in the likeness of men. Here's Jesus, the Son of God, God in the flesh. Same deity, same power, same divine nature as God the Father. And he did not consider it robbery to be equal with God and made himself of no reputation, coming in the likeness of man. The Word becomes flesh. Can you imagine the conversation in heaven between the Father and the Son in the covenant of redemption? And the Father says to the Son, Son, I want you to become the Savior of the world. And Jesus says, yes, Father, I will do that. God the Father talking with God the Son in the midst of God the Holy Spirit. And Jesus says, yes, Father, I will do that. Can you imagine? You want to talk about love for his people? Yes, Father, I'll go to the cross for our people. Jesus, being God himself, did not consider robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. You know what that means? Made himself of no reputation? He made himself nothing. Some Bible translations say he literally emptied himself to come save us. He humbled himself and was obedient to the Father's will. And therefore, the Father has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and those under the earth. He's talking about hell. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is a powerful passage. I don't know if you guys have gone through this, meditated on it, read it often. This is powerful. God said in the book of Isaiah, chapter 45, verse 23, he said, I have sworn by myself, listen carefully, I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that to me every knee will bow and every tongue will take an oath, confess that Jesus is Lord. That's God the Father. Speaking of God the Son, he says everyone's going to bow to my Son for what he did on that cross. Let me just break this down for you. The Lord said, I have sworn to myself. Right? Can you imagine God saying, I have sworn to myself, I have promised myself that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That's powerful. You know what God's saying in the scripture? I promise you this will happen. This is very powerful from God Almighty. Right here. You know what this is? This is a warning to the world. That every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Better sooner than later. If you know what I mean. Everybody in heaven today and everybody in hell has bowed the knee to Jesus Christ. They have confessed, you are Lord. Better sooner than later. You know, to confess now and to submit now to the Lordship of Jesus Christ means salvation. It means eternal life in Christ. To submit now to the Lordship of Jesus Christ means salvation in his name. Let's go back to our passage in verse 14. John wrote, and we beheld. He's talking about we saw. This is what he's telling us. He says, listen, we saw. Remember, he's writing this gospel as an eyewitness of Christ. He was with him. He says, he's talking of Jesus, is glory. He says, glory as the only begotten of the Father, which means he's unique. Only begotten. He's unique. He's one of a kind. We were with him. We saw him. And guess what? He says, he was full of grace and truth, which is everything God stands for. Amen? There's everything God stands for right there. Full of grace and full of truth. Now remember, John, the Apostle John, he writes in all his five books that he wrote as an eyewitness of Christ. He wrote in his first epistle, which I shared with you last week, he says, we have heard. We have seen with our own eyes. We have looked upon. We have watched him, Jesus. We have handled him with our own hands. We were with him. Speaking of Jesus, all throughout John's writings, all five books, he declares, we saw Jesus' love. We saw his mercy. We saw his wisdom. We saw his knowledge. We saw his power, all those miracles he did right before their eyes. We saw his justice. We saw his holiness. We saw his compassion, his anger, his wrath, his kindness, his patience. He says, we saw it all right before our eyes. We were with him. John wrote, we saw the light. We saw Jesus' glory. This was the Son of God, he writes, God in the flesh. He's literally fully God, and he's fully man. God in the flesh. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of glory, full of grace, full of truth. Remember, John is writing this gospel because he wants you and I to know that Jesus is the Messiah. He is the Son of God. He's God in the flesh. And by believing in him, you may have eternal life in his name. Amen? This is his purpose, why he's writing this gospel. He's going to lay out the facts about Jesus all throughout this gospel. As a matter of fact, next week and so on, he's going to write about the life of Jesus Christ. Everything he did, everything we saw, he's going to write it all out through this gospel. John continued in verse 15 with John. Remember, this is John the Baptist. Whenever John writes in his gospel, John, he's not talking about himself. He doesn't write his name, right? He only refers to himself as John. He only refers to himself as the disciple that Jesus loved, or the other disciple. So he writes in verse 15, John the Baptist, bore witness of him, Jesus, right? And cried out, saying, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me, John the Baptist said. Right? John the Baptist said, Jesus was born after me in the flesh, because John the Baptist was 6 months older than him. They were second cousins, biologically. Right? But then he declares, he goes, but Jesus was before me. You know what he's talking about, right? His eternal being. He's always existed, right? He's eternal. I mentioned before that John the Baptist gets his name, John the Baptist, by his ministry of baptizing so many people in the Jordan River. That's where John the Baptist gets his name from. I remember last summer baptizing 18 people down at the lake, and you guys started calling me Sean the Baptist. Thank you. I got a long way to go to catch up to John. Yeah. Sean the Baptist. That's all I heard at the cookout. Oh, thank you. That's true. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yes. So John the Baptist, this is really important for you to understand. John the Baptist, he had a massive following. I'm talking massive following. But you know what he said? Don't follow me. Follow him, Jesus Christ. Don't follow me, right? That's what every preacher should say, just like me. Don't follow me. Follow Jesus Christ. He's the way. And that's what John the Baptist told all his followers. He had thousands of followers. He said, they kept coming to him, well, we want to be with you, John. John, no. Follow him, the Messiah. You know what John the Baptist said? He told all his followers, he told all his disciples himself, he says, I must decrease. He must increase. Which is in John 3:30. That should be our life statement right there as a Christian. I must decrease and Jesus Christ must increase in my life. Amen? He must increase, right? We must decrease and let him increase in our life. You know what that means? Lord, you lead me. You lead me in all my decisions. You lead me in my life. I don't want to lead. Well, that's what being Lord of your life is. Jesus is Lord of our life. He makes all decisions. He owns everything you own. You surrendered it all. He owns your car out there. He owns your house. He owns your checks. Everything. That's Lordship of Jesus Christ. It's all yours. You gave it to me, Lord. That's surrendering your life to Christ. It's all yours, Lord. You gaveth and you can taketh. Right? What did Job say? He said, you gave all these things to me and you took it away. Praise the Lord. It takes a lot to say that. That should be our life statement. Lord, you must increase in our life. Let's take a look at verse 16. That's a great verse. And of his fullness we have all received. Grace for grace. What a verse. Grace for grace. The Bible says when we become saved, that the Holy Spirit of God comes to live within us. And we are filled with the fullness of God. Hallelujah. We are filled with the goodness of God. Grace for grace. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Ephesians, and he said, may you be filled with the fullness of God. That's in Ephesians 3:19. You know what grace for grace means? I mean, just think about this. Three words, so beautiful. You know what this means? Grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. Grace after grace after grace. It's an endless supply of grace to God's children. Endless supply. I'm going to bless you, give grace upon grace to his children. Listen to Romans 5, 1 and 2. He said, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access by faith, listen to this, into this grace, listen, in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. In this grace that God gives us, grace upon grace upon grace, we stand in his grace. It's powerful. We have been justified by faith, and in this grace, we stand. Right? The Lord always tells us, stand fast in your faith. You're going through trials, tribulations, something coming to your life. You don't understand it. You know what the Lord says? Stand strong in me. Right? You stand fast in me, and I'll see you through. All throughout the Scripture. You stand strong in me, the Lord says. You can't handle this on your own. That's what Jesus is saying. You got to stand strong in me or you ain't ever going to make it. You ain't ever going to get through that thing you're struggling with. Fear, anxiety, stress, loss of a loved one, anything. You ain't ever going to do it on your own. You stand fast in me and I'll see you through. Amen? Man, we got to trust in the Lord more. If we trust in the Lord more and we prayed more, we would focus less on our problems. Right? We'll have to just focus on the problems. Oh, I'm so worried about this. I'm so worried about that. I don't know what I'm going to do. How about standing strong in the Lord? Trusted in Him. You belong to Him. We've got to stand strong. Just like our call, right? Call to worship. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. That means trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, right? This is, I can understand this simple text, right? This is simple. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Lord, I don't know why this is going on, but I'm going to trust in you. Because I know you'll see me through if I trust in you. If I try to tackle this situation on my own, I'm going to screw it up. This isn't going to go the way I want it to go. I'm going to lean on you. Because God wants to do the heavy lifting in our life. But He's waiting for us to call upon Him and give it to Him. Right? Right? God, you got to do the heavy lifting. I can't. I can't handle this. Boy, sometimes we can just be so self-righteous and think we can handle everything. I got it, Lord. I'll let you know if I need you. Man, that's dangerous. Yeah, and you'll fall on your face and you'll say, okay, Lord, I tried my way. It didn't work. Can you lead? Man, if we could only just do that more often. Hey, listen, God's grace should be sufficient for you. Okay? You understand what I'm saying? I don't care what comes in your life or what you're going to deal with in your life. God's grace is sufficient for you. Amen? There's nothing in this world that's better than God's grace. That one day you're going to spend eternity with Him. Right? That's why Jesus told the Apostle Paul when he was struggling, Satan was after him. He asked Jesus, oh, Lord, please remove these thorns from my side. Satan's after me. You know what Jesus said? Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. You'll be okay. You're going to be just fine, Paul. My grace is sufficient for you. When you're weak, I'm strong. Let's go on to verse 17. Verse 17 says, for the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Right? John wrote in his first epistle, he said, and we know. Right? When you guys read that, right? When you see that in your scripture, and we know, that means we know. Right? And we know, not we think. Right? And he says, and we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding that we may know Him who is true. And we are in Him who is true. In His Son, Jesus Christ, this is the true God in eternal life, John wrote. First book of John, chapter 5, verse 20. He says, this is the true God and eternal life. Speaking of Jesus. Another powerful passage. One verse. So powerful. Isn't it nice knowing that we're not saved by works? We're not saved by the law? Because none of us could ever follow it perfectly, right? We could never follow God's law. They couldn't all the way from the beginning, right? Adam and Eve. From them all the way to us. Nobody can follow God's law perfectly. That's why we're not saved by works. That is a false gospel. Work-based gospel. That is so false. That's straight out of hell. We're not saved by works. We do good works for the glory of God. The law was never designed. Listen, this is important for you to understand, because I know Christians love to add their works to their salvation. It has nothing to do with your salvation. Saving faith produces good works. But so many Christians still think, I got to do this, I got to do that. If I want to be in heaven, I got to do this. No, that's a works-based gospel. That's saying Jesus Christ didn't do enough for you. What He did on the cross was sufficient. He said, paid in full. That it is finished. There's nothing you can do to add to it. But surrender your life. I'm all yours, Lord. The law was never designed to save us. You know what the law was? It was to expose us of our sin. That's what it was put in place for. The law was put in place to convict us of our sin. Why? So we would turn to God with all our heart and cry out for mercy and forgiveness, right? Which is repentance. That's why God put that. He knew none of us could handle that. We could never follow the law perfectly. Nobody could, and God knows it. But it got people to say, Lord, I'm all yours. I confess I'm a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. Repentance. And place your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's how people get saved. Verse 18, our final verse. Look what John writes. He says, no one has seen God at any time. He's talking about his full divine nature, right? His full essence, the fullness of God's glory. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, beside his Father, he has declared him. You know, Moses, speaking of, we were talking about, Bob brought up Exodus, the book of Exodus. In chapter 33, Moses asked God, God, let me see the glory. Let me see your full glory. You know what God said to him? God said to Moses, you cannot see my face, Moses, for no man shall see me and live. No man shall see me, my full glory. Our flesh, just so you understand this, our flesh could not handle the full glory of God. If he showed up right now, we'd all be done. Done, right? He says, I'm a consuming fire, okay? Right? He's a consuming fire. He said to Moses, you can't see me. You can't see my full glory. You can't handle it, Moses. You'd be cooked right here. Remember when Moses went up to the mountain of God? He came back down after 40 days. He was glowing. His face was glowing. He had to put a veil on because the people were like, whoa, look at Moses. What happened? God is a consuming fire. You cannot see my face in the flesh and live, right? But let me tell you something. One day, we're all going to stand before him in the spirit. And we're going to see the fullness of his glory right before our eyes. Jesus said, you will see me for who I am. Each and every one of us that are in here right now are going to stand before our Lord Jesus Christ one day when he calls you home, and you're going to see the fullness of God before your eyes. Amen? Let's pray. Dear Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for speaking directly to us through your word this morning. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, if you can stand, can you please stand? You may stand.